Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Today's program is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners. Thank you to Brett, who sent a donation with the Zelle app to box13@greatdetectives.net. You can also send along your support to support.greatdetectives.net or by mail to Adam Graham, P.O. Box 15913, Boise, Idaho 83715. And I also want to thank Matt for sending along a donation with Venmo. And I was able to get the Venmo account set up. Thanks so much for that, Matt. And you can also become one of our ongoing Patreon supporters for as little as $2 per month. Go to patreon.greatdetectives.net. I want to thank Steve for becoming our latest Patreon supporter at patreon.greatdetectives.net. At the detective sergeant level of $7.14 or more per month. And I also want to thank Christine for moving from the Shamus level of $4 or more per month to the detective sergeant level. And you can become one of our Patreon supporters for as little as $2 per month. Just go to patreon.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for today's episode of Rocky Jordan. The original air date is September the 10th of 1950, and the title is Trail of the Assassin.
Now we bring you a world of adventure with Rocky Jordan.
I'd been eyeing the guy sitting in the back booth for quite a while. Everybody in the Cafe Tambourine was having a good time but him. He was American, maybe 30, black hair, combed straight back. I thought I'd go back and say hello. He looked like a nice guy until I got close. Then I saw something in his eyes I didn't like. Fear.
What do you want?
What's the matter, buddy? Drinking alone, not good for you.
I know what I'm doing.
Sure you do, but aren't you hitting the bottle kind of hard?
Who are you?
I own this place.
Oh, then you're Rocky Jordan.
That's right.
You're an American.
Right on two counts.
That's why I came here, Mr. Jordan. This is really an American place, like Chicago or New York. I'm safe here.
Safe from what?
My name's Lint, Mr. Jordan.
And maybe you better walk out and get some air.
No. He's waiting out there. He was following me. I know I saw him. He's going to kill me.
Kill you?
Don't let him kill me, Mr. Jordan.
Nobody's going to kill you, Lint. Let's go to the front door and take a look.
No!
Come on. I'll go out ahead of you. Lint acted like a nut that might cause trouble. I took him by the arm and led him up to the front door of the tambourine. Outside, there was nothing but a cabbie and two girls walking up and down. Then suddenly, Lint pulled away from me.
Across the street! It's him! I told you!
Lint tore back into the tambourine, running for the rear. I headed across the street and into 24 hours I'd never forget.
On a narrow street not far off Cairo's native quarter stands a cafe tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. The Cafe Tambourine, crowded with forgotten men, alive with the babble of many languages. For this is Cairo, where modern adventure and intrigue unfold against the backdrop of antiquity. Tonight's Rocky Jordan story, Trail of the Assassin.
He was American. His name was Lint. He was hitting the bottle a little too hard, and he was using my tambourine for a hiding place. The usual formula for trouble. He swore somebody was waiting just across the street to kill him. I got Lint to the door to have a look, but he tore himself away and ran back into the cafe. So I scouted the street alone. All I found were shadows cast by the streetlight. I checked the cabbie parked at the corner.
Yes, sir. There was a man waiting a few minutes ago in the shadows.
An American?
I would not know. He wore a black coat as though he was cold. He kept coughing into a handkerchief, yes.
That was all the cabbie could give me. So I went back into the tambourine. Chris, my bartender, said Lint had gone out the back way through my office. I don't like wild men running around my place, so I went after him. I just opened the office door when I saw Lint stumbling toward me from the open alley door. He suddenly fell into my arms, pushing me back into the cafe. Then he slid to the floor, face down. That's when I saw the orange handle of an assassin's knife pinned between his shoulder blades like a flower. I had Chris lock the doors, then phone police headquarters. 10 minutes later, who should show up but Sergeant Greco.
As I see, stabbed in the back. Murder, of course.
That's good deduction, Greco. Now, where's Captain Sabaya?
Captain Sabaya is in Alexandria. I am in command during in his absence.
You mean in charge?
The man was killed here in the Cafe Tambourine?
No, out in the back alley. He stumbled in here after.
Very well. Where were you, Mr. Jordan, when the man was murdered?
Sergeant, I saw it all. I saw it all. There was a fight. This man...
Mr. Jordan?
Yeah, him. He was throwing the man out. The man broke away running. They went to the alley. The poor dead man boxed his way back toward the light.
Thank you, my friend, for this information.
I saw it all. I will testify for the usual fee.
Look, Greco, are you going to take the word of a...
For the moment, you may consider yourself in my official custody, Mr. Jordan.
You better get it straight. Back in my office.
As you wish. Now, there is only one question unanswered.
Huh? Only one?
Your motive. Why did you kill this man, Lint?
You tell me.
I advise you to cooperate, Mr. Jordan. Admit... This man was an old enemy of yours from America.
You recognized the orange-handled dagger, didn't you, Greco?
Of course. It is a type used by the tribe of Singori.
That's right. Tribe of Singori, professional assassins.
There have been too many murders in Cairo, but those would wish us to believe the tribe of Singori were the murderers. You will have to do better than that, Mr. Jordan.
Why should I want to kill Lint? Never seen the guy before tonight.
Your Americans have a tendency toward violence.
Okay. You win, Greco. I killed him.
Excellent. Now, we are progressing.
You're making a fool of yourself.
What?
I was going to kill a man. Would I do it right outside my cafe with everybody here?
In a rage, yes.
Then pull him back into the light?
Well,
Would I use a knife? Maybe a .45, but no knife, Greco. Now, go on. Take me now to headquarters. You look real good when Captain Sabaya gets back.
As Captain Sabaya has done in the past, I hereby release you on your own recognizance. But... I assure you, Mr. Jordan, I shall not rest until I have uncovered evidence to bring you to justice.
Oh, what a brain.
Also, your Cafe Tambourine will be declared off-limits and closed until this affair is settled to my official satisfaction. That is all, Mr. Jordan.
Greco went out and took the names of the witnesses. I told Chris to go on home. In 20 minutes, the cafe was empty. I locked the front door and turned off the overhead lights. There was a spilled drink on the piano. I picked up the glass and set it straight. Sat down. It'd be in the papers tomorrow. With my picture. All about Lint's murder in the cafe. Bad for business. Business? There wouldn't be any until Greco pulled down his official stickers. Lint had been an American. Funny, I hadn't thought about home for a long time. And it'd been a real long time. Lint, who was he? Who'd killed him and why? With Greco putting the pressure on, I knew I'd better find out before everything crashed in on me. Greco would work like a bulldog until he'd hoped something up that'd look like evidence. The next morning, I went to Mustafa Bey's shop down on the bazaar. In Cairo, 1950, he was one of the last true artisans making knives. Tempered blades, daggers, cutlasses. Mustafa Bey made them all. He was an old man. He knew everything that had happened in Cairo in the last 60 years. If anyone would, I figured he'd have the answer to the orange-handled dagger.
Fendi, you wish to buy a blade of truth.
Sorry, Mustafa.
Oh, Jordan, sir. An old man who has burned his eyes over the forge until even the stars are lost to him is sorry that he did not rise to make welcome an old and trusted friend.
Now, thanks, Mustafa. I'll just sit here on the rug beside you.
What brings Jordan Bey to the shop of an old man who finds himself as worthless as the moon to men that will not look up.
Oh, you're not worthless.
For 69 years, Effendi, I have made the finest blades. And my father before me, and his father before him, the same. Now, the pistol. Ah.
Well, everything changes, Mustafa.
Everything but ashes. Do not hasten to that far place where yours are destined to be found.
Hey, look, maybe you can help me.
I am a friend.
The orange-handled daggers of the tribe of Singori. What do you know about them?
The Singori are assassins.
Oh, I know that.
Ah, yes, they were excellent customers. But the Singori were driven into hiding many years ago.
Are they still active?
It is said the camel may live from its hump, but there comes a time when the camel must drink.
You're saying maybe the Singori are getting back into harness.
You are concerned about the man who was killed with the iron Singori dagger at your cafe last night.
You knew about that?
Even so.
If the Singori did it, it doesn't make sense that they'd leave their calling card.
Mustafa is vain of his knives. See, my mark on this one. All artists are proud of their labor, and they mark it with their sign.
So the Singori always leave a sign of their work, the orange dagger.
Unless...
Go on, Mustafa.
Unless someone kills and wishes to point to the innocent.
Oh, meaning maybe somebody did the killing with a Singori dagger to make it look like the tribe of assassins.
All things are possible.
Thanks, Mustafa. You've been a big help. Now, the first thing I had to do now was to get a lead on who wanted Lint knocked off. I made a few telephone calls and found Lint's hotel, the Du Nord. I grabbed a cab and was there in 10 minutes. 50 piastres talked the room clerk at the Du Nord out of key 416, the one to Lint's room. I went upstairs. Lint's room was a mess. Looked like Greco had been there and taken a close look around. But maybe Greco had overlooked something. He had. Just as I was snapping open Lint's suitcase, a big job with hotel, airline, and steamship stickers from all over the world posted on it, I felt a sudden movement across the room. I started to turn, but it was too late. I felt a rocket sing through my skull and the rug went black. Deep black for a long, long time.
Are you all right now?
When the rug began to lighten
here,
up,
put this cold rag,
I found I was looking at the ceiling.
Isn't that
better? Framed by the ceiling was the face of a woman. Red hair hanging down, almost touching my face.
Can you hear me?
Green eyes, cool against a creamy tan. She was young.
There, now isn't this better?
I'm supposed to say, where am I?
You're in room 416 at the Hotel du Nord.
I don't get around much anymore. Ooh.
Here, let me help you up.
Thanks.
I heard a noise in here, and then a man ran out and left the door open. I saw that you were hurt.
Well, thanks for coming to the rescue, lady.
I was coming to this room anyway.
Did you know the man named Lint?
I was his wife.
His wife?
Well, I just heard about his death a little while ago. The newspapers. I don't know what to do.
Oh, I'm sorry. Your husband was killed in my cafe.
Senor Rocky Jordan. Yes, your picture was in the paper.
Didn't you wonder where your husband was last night?
He stayed out before.
Hmm. Did you get a good look at the guy that ran out of this room?
Well, it happened so fast.
You must remember something.
Well, he was wearing a top coat, a slouch hat. I couldn't see his face, except... Wait, yes, he was coughing.
Top coat, coughing into a handkerchief. You've never seen him before?
I don't know.
You're not sure, then?
We were on a sightseeing tour last week into the native quarter. I couldn't say for sure, but we went into a little place. I think I saw him there.
What was the name of the place?
It was a cafe.
Well, do you remember the name?
Yes. It was the Cafe of the Singori.
I told the redhead to sit tight until she heard from me. Then I raced for the elevator. Down in the lobby, I ran into none other than Sergeant Greco.
Where
Mr. Jordan, I hope you are not attempting to flee Cairo.
I don't go to hotels to catch planes, Greco.
Just a reminder. Hamoud, commandeer the elevators.
One moment, Greco.
Oh, Sam, am I glad you're back.
Boy, Captain Sabaya, you have returned from Alexandria.
As you can see, I was told you had followed Jordan to this hotel, Greco.
Following me for information, Greco?
Jordan, I have just heard of your part in this unfortunate affair.
Just an innocent bystander, Sam.
Yes, yes, of course. You make it most difficult, Jordan.
Things are tough all over.
Why are you in this hotel?
I heard it has a good rumba band.
He came here to enter the room of the murdered man.
Have you been upstairs, Jordan?
Yeah, I took a look around.
You see, Captain Sabaya?
But Greco here made such a mess of the room, there wasn't much left to see.
You are wrong as usual, Mr. Jordan. I made notes concerning the location of all articles, but touched nothing. Awaiting the return of Captain Sabaya.
You better go take another look. Things have changed since you were up there. Sam and Greco started for the elevators. I went to the hotel desk to ask a question, but I got the wrong answer from the clerk.
There must be some mistake. Mr. Lind registered as a bachelor. There was no woman in his room.
So, Lind wasn't married. The red-headed girl had lied. She was likely the one that had turned Lind's room upside down, looking for something. And she was likely the one that had tapped me on the head, too. She'd been in the room when I opened the door, hadn't had a chance to leave. She didn't want to get caught there, so she'd sat me. Why had she stayed? She could have run away while I was knocked out. Then it hit me. She'd worked real hard to plant the idea of the coughing man in the black slouch hat, like the one the cabbie had seen across from my tambourine the night before. She'd also mentioned the Cafe of the Singori. There was only one place to go now, deep into the native quarter, to the Cafe of the Singori. It could be a front for the headquarters of the assassin tribe.
Effendi, Bakshi.
I passed the beggar at the entrance of the Cafe of the Singori. He looked like a beggar, but I had a hunch he was a lookout. The cafe was dark and almost empty. I felt the stare of hidden eyes. A native girl was dancing in a small, cleared space. I sat at a table and waited. I didn't have to wait long.
Lucky Jordan honors the House of Singori.
That puts you one card ahead. You know me, but I don't know you. You the head man around here?
I am Hakim, a simple waiter, Effendi.
Sure, real simple.
It is my profession. I have heard many things of you, Mr. Jordan. I hope they are all true.
Believe half you see, nothing you hear.
Estimable, it is a saying from a book of wisdom.
Oh, a saying from Seventh Avenue.
Hakim considers it an honor to serve the wise Lucky Jordan.
Oh, not so wise. I didn't come here for refreshments, Hakim.
Oh?
I can see you're real surprised.
Perhaps Jordan Bey would care for company at his table.
A man was killed in my cafe last night, Hakim.
How unfortunate.
Yeah, he thought so. Name was Lint. Ever heard of him?
Englishman?
USA.
We do not get tourist trade so deep in the native quarter. They become fearful before they have penetrated to the Singori.
Maybe you know a red-headed woman, about 25. Creamy, tan, green eyes.
Ah, that is beyond Hakim's hope of heaven.
You had a customer here, maybe a week ago, an American, middle-aged, wears a black slouch hat, coughs a lot. Maybe he bought a little, service.
I do not recall such a man, Effendi. But surely Rocky Jordan knows. The day of the tribe of Singori being hired as assassin is in the past.
What kind of a knife are you carrying, Hakim? Inside your robe?
None, Effendi.
Let's take a look.
Yeah, just like I thought. It's necessary for Hakim to protect himself in this low place of employment.
8-inch dagger.
But you will notice, Effendi, the handle.
Yeah, it's not orange.
As I have said, the day of the assassin, alas, is over. All of you! It is all right.
Sure, Hakim, sure.
Effendi, listen. I must be careful here. Such a man as you have described has been seen in the quarter. It is said he is a man of great evil.
Where can I find this man of great evil?
It is said he lives at the Hotel of the Armenian Davos, near the Fountain of Musa. But Hakim does not know if this be true.
Hakim wouldn't know the truth if it came dressed like the Sphinx. But Hakim knows where the man of evil lives, for sure. Here, Hakim.
Oh, Musa Shakir, Effendi.
Give part of that to the dancing girl, will you? She's the only thing in here you can depend on. I had an idea if I was ever going to get my cafe open again, I'd better see the man of evil. I got to the Armenian's hotel by the Fountain of Musa about sundown, spreading the fox sheesh on the fly-spec front desk to get a straight answer, then walked up to room 237, the room of a man who had registered as Rufus Glander.
You are Rocky Jordan. Come in, Mr. Jordan. I've been expecting you.
You're Rufus Glander?
I am called that.
Another American?
San Franciscan.
Well, just why were you expecting me, Glanders?
Lint was killed in your cafe last night.
Well, you get right to the point.
I've only been in Cairo a short time, Mr. Jordan. But already I've heard much of you. Your tenacity.
Hey, you're a sick man.
And a relatively poor one.
I didn't come here to talk money.
Money can be very important. You see, Mr. Jordan, I have used up my monetary reserves in traveling about the world.
Yes, I noticed your suitcase down at the foot of the bed.
So?
People that tour the world usually pick up a lot of stickers for their luggage.
That reflects middle-class taste.
Oh, I don't know. Folks get quite a kick out of it. But your suitcase has just one sticker on it.
I know.
A view of the Golden Gate Bridge. A sticker from a hotel in San Francisco.
The only city in the world. Why should I bother with the rest?
So, you're from San Francisco, huh?
Yeah.
Ah, there's nothing like that view from Golden Gate Park on top Telegraph Hill in Frisco.
Golden Gate Park is nowhere near Telegraph Hill in San Francisco.
Okay, you're from San Francisco, all right. That still doesn't explain why you're expecting me.
I've heard much of you. And since Lint was killed at your place last night, and since the killer has not been apprehended, I thought you might contact me.
Why should that follow?
My reasoning for traveling all over the world on the little money that remained to me was to catch up with Lint and kill him.
Maybe Captain Sabaya down at police headquarters would like to hear your story. Police got an idea I did Lint in.
That's absurd.
Last night, the cabbie outside my cafe spotted you waiting there to kill Lint.
Yeah? I was there. At the end of a 6,000-mile search, I found him. I thought I could kill him. But I couldn't.
You nailed him out back?
No. If I had been able to kill Lint, I would have entered your cafe and accomplished it in the open. You see, Mr. Jordan, my life means nothing to me now. I have only a little time left. And Lint took everything that mattered to me when he left San Francisco. My money. My wife.
Your wife has red hair?
Beautiful red hair.
I don't know about your story now, Glanders. But from where I stand, it looks like your wife's trying to put the finger on you.
But you've seen her?
She practically led me to you.
Oh, Mr. Jordan.
Stop stalling, Glanders. We're taking a trip to headquarters.
Mr. Jordan, get back.
Come on, Glanders.
A shadow behind the window.
I whirl toward the window that opened onto a fire escape. I dive for the floor.
A knife. I'll do a knife.
Getting down the fire escape. He won't stick around.
Be careful, Mr. Jordan.
Oh, yeah, I see him now, running down the street.
Who is it?
You're lucky to be asking. That knife was for you, Glanders. Went into the sofa, right up to the orange handle.
But who threw it? Who was he?
A guy named Hakim. A guy who's got a lot of answers.
Answers? But it's too late to follow.
We don't have to. I know just where you and I are going to find him.
In just a moment, Rocky Jordan returns with the ending to tonight's story. What is the war news today? Whatever it is, you want to help, don't you? Well, you can do something very important. You can contribute a pint of your blood every 3 months through Red Cross. Again, Red Cross is the official agency to collect blood for the armed forces when and wherever needed. That need is now. We must build up a blood reserve. And we must continue to take care of the day-by-day needs of our community. If you are a normally healthy person between the ages of 21 and 60, will you call your local Red Cross and make an appointment for a blood donation? Call your local Red Cross. We return you now to Rocky Jordan for the conclusion of tonight's story.
I headed out of the hotel room with Rufus Glanders in tow. Outside, we caught a cab and directed the driver deep into the native quarter, the Cafe of the Singori. The native watcher was still at the door as we went inside. This time I didn't take a table, but barrel on through into the back. That's where I surprised Hakim in a small cube-like room.
Huh? Oh, you are not us again, Jordan, sir.
Breathing kind of heavy, aren't you, Hakim?
It's been a most exceptional evening for business, Jordan, sir.
Hey, I'll bet. You know my friend here.
I have never set eyes on this rascal before.
As he says, effendi, we have not met.
Now you forget fast. Who hired you to put a dagger into Lent's back, Hakim?
Very funny joke.
Was it the woman with red hair?
I do not understand.
Be careful, Jordan. I hope you know what you're doing.
It was the red-headed woman, wasn't it, Hakim? She paid you to kill Lint. She also paid you to put me on the trail of Glanders here. So I'd go to him and be caught there when you slipped a dagger into him, too. I was to be the fall guy.
What manner of lie is this?
She knew the police were already suspicious of me. That'd be the payoff. Rocky Jordan, caught alone in a room with another dead American.
Your funny story makes me laugh.
Maybe this will make you laugh, Hakim. I think the woman's here, in this cafe, right now.
No, she is not.
I'm so sure I'm going to call Captain Sabaya and have him search the place.
No, you cannot do that.
He'll make her talk. You know what she'll say, Hakim? She'll say, I paid Hakim the assassin 100 pounds to knife Lint and another 100 to kill Glanders.
No, no lies.
Careful, Jordan, he's dangerous.
Hakim the assassin.
No, she will not tell me.
Hakim took off like he knew where he was going, and he did. Before I could move, I heard a noise in the hallway, and a woman stumbled into the room. It was the redhead, and she was wearing an orange corsage pinned over her heart, the orange handle of a Singori dagger. Just then, Captain Sam Sabaya came in with about 10 men. One of them had Hakim by the neck.
Now let me go, let me go!
Hey, you got the right man, Sam.
The woman is dead?
Yes, she's dead. How'd you get here?
My son had always followed you to trouble, Jordan.
Well, she was asking for it, Sam. She was hiding out here. I'd spotted her in Lint's hotel room, and she had the idea that Glanders here was after her to kill her.
Glanders? Who is he?
I was her husband.
She hired Hakim.
No! No, Jordan,
to kill Lint and Glanders. When I got mixed up in it, it looked like a good idea to make me the fall guy.
I would have to have more information.
Well, this is a good time for you to talk, Glanders.
Well... When Lint left San Francisco, he took nearly all my money, ruined my business. He took my wife with him, too. I followed them all over the world. I was going to kill them. But when I caught up with them here in Cairo, I found I couldn't kill. I also learned that Lint had thrown her out without a dime.
Reason enough for a woman to hire an assassin to kill him, Sam. She probably got the lead to the Singori on a sightseeing tour. Well, you were lucky, Glanders. You were next on her list. She was going to make sure you didn't catch up with her.
Lucky? I suppose.
I put the pressure on Hakim here, and he killed his client so she wouldn't be able to testify against
him. No, Jordan, no.
That's when you walked in, Sam.
Jordan, is it possible that you will ever leave the matter of justice to those in authority?
Oh, hold it, Sam. Greco was out to get me.
Greco? Oh, yes, yes. I shall discuss this with him.
Then I can open up the tambourine?
At once, if you so desire.
But I didn't so desire. I headed back to the cafe with Rufus Glanders, but I just didn't feel like opening up. It was kind of late, and we sat down at the bar, and I mixed a couple of drinks.
Delicious drink, Jordan.
Thanks, Glanders.
May I propose a toast? To the United States, and to those of us who can never return.
Why can't you go home?
The matter of Lint's theft? He juggled books in the firm.
making me appear to be a criminal. It's a personal matter.
One which I do not care to explain.
So you can't go back?
No, I can't go back.
It's tough.
You know San Francisco?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had a cafe there once.
Looking down on the Embarcadero, night, with the soft lights of the ships floating up to you through the fog.
Cable cars, fishermen's wharf.
Post Street.
Forest Park.
Forest Park? But that's in St. Louis.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Rocky Jordan, written tonight by Gilbert Thomas, stars Jack Moyles in the title role with Jay Novello as Sam Sabaya, and is produced and directed by Cliff Howell with original music composed and played by Richard Arant. John Jacobs speaking. Rocky Jordan is presented over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Welcome back. Well, a good one to end on. Some great investigating, a lot of legwork by Rocky, and being able to visit so much of the city of Cairo. And I particularly like the end where Rocky, you know, while that one expatriate was reflecting on San Francisco, Rocky's mind went back to St. Louis, to his hometown. Which, you know, as an end to the series, I think is a pretty good bittersweet note to end on. This episode would mark the end of the current series of Rocky Jordan. And the next series, which will play, feature George Raft in the lead role. However, Jack Moyles wasn't done. There was a 1955 serial pilot project, and he actually reprised the role in that. In addition, the late old-time radio researcher Stuart Wright indicated that Rocky Jordan did return to the air over CBS in 1952 and 53, and in fact thought that some of the programs that have been labeled from 1949 and 50 may have actually been from 52 and 53, but we don't have any like original stories available from that particular era. I certainly would welcome more recordings of Moyles's Rocky Jordan. There are quite a few going back, of course, to the 1940 series, A Man Named Jordan. So there are definitely opportunities for new programs to come into existence. All right, well, some listener comments and feedback. Brett writes in, love the show. And Matt, last name Graham, writes, donation from one Graham to another, thanks from Tennessee. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your support. I do also want to go ahead and thank the Patreon supporter of the day. I want to thank Foxworks, one of our Patreon supporters since February 2018. Thank you so much for your support. And that will actually do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for Boston Blackie. Next Wednesday, another episode of Rocky Jordan. In the meantime, send your comments to Box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. And become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.